Who gets caught up in our priorities? Who sets our agenda? Does it drive us closer or does it drive us farther away from Jesus Christ? This is about being a follower, a disciple of Jesus, pure and simple. This is about what Jesus expects as a commitment. This is about what Jesus anticipates that we're going to do. This is not about your investments or what homes you have or what you have in your home, or how many cars you have or what your checking account or retirement account looks like. This is about your heart. Who owns your heart? Where is your heart? This is about Jesus. If you look in the Bible and you look at that section, you'll notice that right prior to this, Jesus is talking about what the priorities are in terms of our relationship and how we behave as a Christian or how we behave as a Christ follower. And in the Jewish world, there were three big things that we talked about. There was giving, prayer, and alms that showed that you were an avid disciple. Those were the works of righteousness. And Jesus said, look, here's how we're going to work with that. He jumps right from works of righteousness into your priorities. It dovetails beautifully. Because Jesus is not worried about money. He's worried about your heart. He is not worried about money. He is worried about what captures your imagination. What is it that you somehow focus on, even obsess on? What has your heart? And so he starts off with verse number 19. He says, look, don't treasure up yourselves treasures in heaven. That's what the word really is. Now, that's what the word really is about. The word is treasuring. And it's a flat word. It's a horizontal word. It has to do with that which you somehow like to stack up. What do you guys collect, by the way? What's some of the things you collect? Anybody here collect stamps? Anybody here collect, very good. Anybody collect pennies or quarters, dollars, dimes? Anybody here collect, she collects angels. Or did at one time. I used to collect old books. And I mean old books, I mean like 1800s and before. Anybody else collect precious moments? Monkeys, hippos, cars? Yeah, you collect cars. I've seen your car collection. They're little cars. They're not big cars. Little cars. He's talking about things you hoard, things you turn, things you stack, things that you kind of, you know, lift up. Things that somehow don't always have a useful, but they're more luxury items or nothing. Nobody ever collects toothbrushes. You know, what do you collect? Paper towel. We use paper towel. We don't collect paper towel. We use paper towel. Don't store up for yourselves. Do not treasure treasures on earth. Because don't let those things capture your imagination. Don't let those things run away with you because they're temporal. They're temporary. Moths, rust, thieves came in. By the way, moths were the great destroyer of Jesus' day. They would get in and they would eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And don't think about rust so much as think about decay, corrosion, and rot. That's really what the word means. Decay, corrosion, and rot. And the houses were made out of mud bricks. And thieves and bandits would just bore right through and burrow right through, grab your stuff, and take off. They didn't have the First National Bank of Nazareth. You didn't have the First National Bank. You didn't have those. So you tended to bury your treasures in the dirt floor and cover it over and try and remember where you buried it. Because people will break in and steal. The things that you got would decay and rust and corrode. And moths would eat the garments that you would hold back. You really couldn't have a lot of extra. First of all, the homes that they had were incredibly small. They didn't have a lot of storage. Whatever storage you have in your house is light years beyond what they had. And so it was all disposable all the time. It didn't last. But store up for yourselves, investing in the kingdom, treasures in heaven. Store up for yourselves those things which you think you can hang on to and those things which are precious. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I like the way Paul puts it. He says, look, in 2 Corinthians, I fix my eyes not what is unseen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is permanent. I put mine in the kingdom. And some of the treasures I would do would be giving. Some of the treasures I would be doing would be fasting. Some of the treasures I would be doing would be praying. And I would be getting treasures in heaven. I would be doing things in order to make my Lord happy with me rather than collecting baseball cards, stock certificates, or polo shirts. Those are the things I do. Because if I put them in heaven, those treasures are not in peril, they are held securely, they are safe, they can't be lost. And here's the linchpin verse. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where your treasure is, that's where your imagination is. Where your treasure is, that's where your focus is, your drive, your will. That's where you are. That's where you are. Have you ever noticed that our treasures sometimes are too cheap? Have you ever noticed that some of our treasures we have on this earth are too cheap? And our lives are lesser for it. We bought our first home in Aurora, Illinois, and we bought a four-bedroom home. Did you know what I discovered about owning a four-bedroom home? It really owns you. You don't own it, it owns you. And it's a demanding master. Sump pumps do not repair themselves. Toilets are notoriously uncooperative in fixing themselves. By the way, plumbing is not of God. And every plumbing trip takes 3 trips to Home Depot. How many of you ever try a plumbing job at home and don't really know what they're doing? Yeah. How many trips do you go? How many trips did you take, Jeff? Three. And you always get the wrong little ring, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You get the wrong ring, and you're in there, and it doesn't fit. And it misses by this much. Did you know the lawn doesn't cut itself? You have to be doing this over and over and over and over, and you have to paint. We painted that place from one end to the other. We wallpaper together. You know why? I do what I'm told. She says, hold this, I hold it. That's it. I'm not the brains of the operation. I'm muscle, such as it is. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Some people treasure work. That's what their heart is. Some people treasure their activities. Some people treasure their hobbies. That's where their heart is. Some people treasure Jesus. That's where their heart is. That's where their attention, their imagination, everything is there. And where your heart is, that shows the kind of light you have going on. And when you look at the context, then all of a sudden, verses 19 and 20 and 21 make sense. I mean, 22, 23 make sense. The eye is the lamp of the body. Where you look is where you go. The eye brings all the light, brings all the vision, it brings all of there. It determines your direction, it determines almost everything. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, you got good things. If your eye is bad, it's like, what do you mean, good, bad? Let's change those words out. For good, put generous. Put healthy. If your eye is healthy and generous, your whole body is going to be full of light. It gives you the capacity to see. It opens up your vision. It lets you see around. It lets you do things. It lets you see that which is real. But if your eye is greedy, unhealthy, avarice, your whole body will be full of darkness. Have you ever known a truly greedy person? Their vision is very small. Mostly it focuses around them. Mostly it focuses around what they have or don't have or what they ought to have or how they're going to acquire it. And Jesus said, no, that's not what you want. But if your eyes are bad, and your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light within you is darkness, if your light is greed, if your focus and attention is on coveting, if everything you have means nothing and it's all about what you don't have, then how great the darkness is in your life. We've known about this for all. Do you remember, how many remember Wall Street, the first movie Wall Street? Remember the famous line out of Wall Street? What is it?
Greed is good.
Malarkey. It's not true. Greed is never good. And Jesus sums it up in this small section and says, you're going to serve someone, but you can't serve two people. You cannot divide your loyalties. You can't serve two masters. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, or you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. You are going to serve someone. What are you going to do? You're going to be devoted or despised, pay close attention or dismiss, but you're going to serve. You cannot go two directions. Have you ever had two bosses on one job? It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You can't serve God and greed. It just doesn't work. You have to make a choice. And what Jesus is talking about in these short verses is this. I want you to follow me. I want your commitment to be high. I want your loyalty to be absolute. And I want your devotion to be complete. I want you to follow me. I want you to be mine. I'm not asking you to be poor. God never says, we want you to give up. He said to the rich young ruler, he didn't say it to the West Bay Covenant Church. He's not asking that you just throw away everything. He is asking that you use them as tools, not serve them as masters. Because I want you to be absolute devoted to me. I want you to have an uncompromising commitment for my kingdom and for my work, and it's not something you can do part-time. It has to be full-time. In fact, Jesus told this great story. There once was a farmer. This farmer, through diligence and ability, had a bumper crop. He completely blew out his barn. He blew out his outbuildings, his silos. He had a blue tube, and he had a couple of them. They were all filled. He got together with his financial advisor and says, I need to expand. And with single-minded determination, he expanded. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to expand my holdings. I'm going to get this land over here. I'm going to get the land over there. And I'm not going to shrink. I'm going to grow out because it's the great American dream. I'm going to get bigger, 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 bigger. I'm going to have more barns. I'm going to have more workers. And then at the end of it, I'm going to say, look what a good boy I am. I am successful. I have plenty of good things. I'm going to take life easy, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to have it good. In the middle of the night, God looks at him and says, you fool. This night, you're going to die. Who gets all this that you've worked for? Who's going to get it? Who is going to get all that you have prepared for yourself? That's how it will be when you store things up for yourself, but are not rich towards God. Jesus said, who owns you? Who do you serve? If it's not me, you lose. The most powerful statement you and I make in the church is this. Three little words. Jesus is Lord. I serve him. He owns me. All that I am, all that I have, belong to him. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Not that you all of a sudden can't have a car or two. Not that you can't have clothes. Not that you can't have retirement program. Not that you can't have an insurance. You and all that you are, all that you have, belong to Jesus, pure and simple. That's what it means to follow him. And if we follow him, we don't have to worry about inflation. If we follow him, we don't have to worry about stock markets or home prices or home values. We follow him because all that we are and all that we have reside in his hands, and they are safe forever. Amen? Amen.